Well, welcome to the Colorado Bar Association's Modern Law Revolution podcast. I'm your co-host, JP Box. I'm a lawyer turned entrepreneur, consultant, and author, and currently serving as the chair of the CBA's Modern Law Practice Initiative.
And I am Erica Holmes. I have a solo practice doing family law and attorney ethics and regulation, practicing the modern law way. And I am past chair of the Modern Law Practice Initiative.
And full disclosure, before we jump right into our episode today, obviously we are both filming and recording this from different parts of Colorado as we're social distancing. So if you hear two first graders running through the house or doing their remote schooling, that's them. I know this morning they have their wooden flute lesson as well. So if you hear any musical accompaniment in the background, that is them.
Do we have the copyright to be hearing the wooden flute?
Yes. As their lawyer, I will license it to this podcast.
Fantastic. So,
well, let's jump right into it. This is a challenging time, both professionally, personally, from a health standpoint, financially, for a lot of people throughout Colorado, really throughout the world. And for a lot of us, it's a moment of reflection as well, in terms of what our lives looked like just 1 month ago, what they look like now, and when this time period passes, what they will look like in the future. And so, Erica, as you and I were talking through what we wanted to do today, one of the things that you seized upon that I really liked was this notion of what's your vision?
Right. And when I talk about vision, there's actually three different perspectives of that. One is, what is the vision for yourself and for your firm, or, you know, however you're practicing? And what is the vision that you have for your clients now and in the future, as everything is up in the air? And then finally, what is the vision in terms of the legal community? What is it looking like now? How are we staying connected? And definitely, what is the vision for the future? And with all of these pieces, they fit in very well with the Modern Law Practice Initiative concepts, because these are all questions, especially the first one, or I'm sorry, the first two, in terms of the vision of for yourself and for the clients, what you want how you want to structure your life and how you want to structure your firm. And so anecdotally, fortunately, the modern lawyers that I have been talking with everything changing, have it appears to be a much easier time having transitioned into this pandemic time and restrictions and basically from.
And why is that? What makes it the easier transition to practicing in this new reality we find ourselves?
The concept, for one, of working remotely is a very big concept within modern law, just because you're trying to figure out what works best for you, and often for people that is a variety of different things. So some office times, some not office time. Personally, my office is in a bag. I'm completely virtual, and I have been for the last 4 years. So besides Starbucks closing down, I can't meet my clients in my usual quote unquote office, it hasn't been that much of a transition. And this is for modern lawyers in general, tending to be a paperless office, and being able to do like electronic signatures, case management systems, all in the cloud. All of our software is in the cloud, and having figured out where that blend is with your work and your life. So having taken these things into account already, like I said, the modern lawyers that I've spoken with, this transition has been, it seems much easier on them than it has for more traditional lawyers.
That's interesting. Well, let's kind of jump into these three levels of vision that we talked about, starting with, you know, what's your vision for yourself? And both of us went through this process at different points in our lives, trying to figure out what is the best life we can create for ourselves. And so just kind of throwing it back to you, what's your vision for yourself? You know, what was the process that you went through where you became this happy, successful modern lawyer?
Well, as we discussed in our initial podcast, it came from being very unhappy doing much the more traditional private practice route, being with a medium-sized firm, and being so unhappy that I didn't even realize, it took me a time to figure out whether I was unhappy with that specific practice or if I was unhappy with law in general. Kind of tying it into what a lot of people might be going through right now, the stress and the unhappiness got to the level that it was actually affecting my health and aggravating an underlying condition that I had. And so it was literally killing me to be practicing in the more traditional manner. So that's what got me to take the plunge. Whereas right now, I think that a lot of people are now being forced to take the plunge for different reasons. Some of them health related in terms of themselves or others. So what about you? Why did you take the plunge, JP?
I came at it from, I had practiced at a big firm, a mid-sized firm, a small firm, and figured that I had tried every style of law possible. And some of the same points of frustration followed me from firm to firm to firm. I had suspected that a change of scenery or a change of size would be the ticket to, being a happier, more productive lawyer. But instead I had the process where I was, the Goldilocks of young associates, disappointing partners when I would go from, become a valuable team member and then switch up where I was going. But for me, a lot of it was the lack of control that I felt that I had over my life and my career. And I really wanted to, going back to that vision, what was a forward-looking vision of where I wanted to be in 10 years and how would I get there? And for me, we both came to very different conclusions. You seized upon modern law and grew a practice that you love. I was not aware of modern law at that point in my life, but I was aware of merino wool, so I went the merino wool kids apparel route, and now get to work with law firms, helping them pivot in a new direction, trying to connect better with young lawyers, with millennials. And to your point, there's a tendency to stay set in the status quo, even when it's not working as well as it should for lawyers, for clients. But that when things are okay-ish for the most part, change is difficult to happen. Whereas now we really are, on a precipice as a society, as a profession, as individuals. And so I think we will see, a very different legal community and perhaps community at large after we weather this storm. And so, the legal profession, because of this, will change regardless. And so I think we have, this moment of reflection where we can really, jump into, okay, what do I want my professional and personal life to look like, 3 months, 6 months, 9, 12 months down the road after this period passes?
And just so that the people that are listening understand, the idea with modern law is that it's customizable. There is a bazillion options out there. You don't have to pick between doing a solo firm and merino wool. There's more choices than just those two.
Correct. And that's one thing that I love about it is there's a right process, but there's not a right answer. And so figuring out what makes sense for you as a person, whether it's starting your own consulting company or whether it's starting your own modern law practice, if it's you or if it's 10 people, if it's 100 people, these principles can all translate over. And one thing that I've thought a lot about and I've talked a lot about when I speak with law firms is the notion of work-life blend, which we are all getting a crash course in these past couple of weeks. as we are, you know, literally at home and blending, you know, what we have to do at home, what we have to do for work, what we do for recreation. Everything is getting jumbled together, which to a certain degree, I think is a good thing. You and I are both, you know, have our home office, our virtual office. We can pretty much work anywhere, but we also live where we work to a large degree. And so in the past, I've spoken about kind of five fundamental freedoms of work-life blend. And, you know, for reasons completely unforeseen, work-life blend is the new reality. And the first thing that I talk about with law firms a lot is the freedom to rethink when and where work happens. When you look at studies into millennials, my focus, the vast majority, up to 90%, want some autonomy of setting their work location, their work hours, not working less, but just working in places and at times when they feel most productive. And I think a lot of us across generations feel that. And right now we are living that because of this pandemic. And so I think as a profession right now, we're beginning to understand that yes, we can be productive outside of the standard working hours or outside of the four walls of an individual office. And we need to continue, I believe, with that mindset to allow us to be productive and allow us to start blending work and life on an ongoing basis. The freedom to think of workspace as living space, and again, destabilizing those sharp divides. Freedom to bring life into work. A lot of times, what I saw at law firms was a well-intentioned, but I think ultimately misguided desire to erect strict barriers between this is your life and this is your work. And now those are starting to come down. Number four is one that you've touched upon at the outset, the freedom to work, think, and connect digitally. That's what allows you to have that easier transition to this new reality. And last but not least is the freedom to unplug, which is, you know, crucial to kind of recharge our batteries. And so one of the things that I'm wondering is, you know, and I kind of encourage our listeners to think about, as all of a sudden, if you haven't had work-life blend in your practice, in your life, these five freedoms, for better or worse, have all of a sudden been thrust upon you. And so what do you hold on to post-pandemic, after this period passes, after we can gather again? What is our life going to look like? And which of those do you want to hold on to? Which of those freedoms do you want to keep as you move forward?
And in terms of figuring out what your vision is for yourself, the upside of what's going on right now is it really gives you a chance to experiment. And at a time when the pressures of being perfect aren't so high, because everyone's kind of making it up as they go along. So if you falter in some way, or, you know, you try something new and it doesn't work for you, you're not going to be held at the same level as accountability as you would, you know, pre-pandemic. As you're talking about the work-life blend, also when the vision for self is how you want to be on the professional part of the work-life blend. Just trying to bring it more grounded in terms of what we're talking about with this vision is, you know, what kind of cases do you want to take? What kind of legal work do you want to do? Do you want to do drafting? Do you not want to do advocacy? Do you want to do document review? Do you want to do advice? Who do you want your coworkers to be? Right now, you have a great time to play around with who you want to Zoom with and who you don't. And if there's people that you're like, wow, it's really great that I'm not seeing them, they might be people in the future that you don't want to do coworkers with, and or finding out you do want coworkers versus working on your own. What kind of clients do you want? What kind of office do you want in the future? Are you loving it, hating it, somewhere in between with what's going on right now? And then how do you want to dress? Either when you're in the office or outside of the office, and then going back to the schedule of what hours do you want to work, what days do you want to work, which, you know, is part of the whole work-life blend. So those are all the different concepts to start thinking about and playing around with and really customizing your practice for yourself. So this is really a time of opportunity with everything else that's going on. If we can look at some upsides of things, I think that that's a huge opportunity right now.
Yeah, and I love the idea of having that control, because I think a lot of times as professionals, we think that we're caught up in this stream and there's one way of practice, there's one way of doing things, and that you try to conform yourself best to somebody else's model. But here it's really, you get to model your life, your practice for what suits you best. This is a challenging time period for so many, from, for financial reasons, for public health reasons, personal health. But there's also, this period of reflection where we can really think, okay, what do we want, our lives to look like once we reconnect with people? And I know one thing that you've thought a lot about really for years now is, what service, what vision do you have for your clients? What is your hope in terms of connecting with your clients? What experience are you trying to create for them?
The best possible experience that I can. And so, shifting from what vision you see of yourself and your firm to shifting to the vision of how you want to serve your clients, how you want to provide value to them, not just in terms of how much you want to bill them, but looking at, what even clients do you want to take, and sticking with that versus, taking anything that is coming through the door. And there is a lot of research that's been done lately about the client value and the clients putting value on things that aren't what lawyers think that they put value on. So the IELTS, which is the Institute for the Advancement of the American Legal System, part of the University of Denver, and they did a huge survey with ABO, and looking at 700,000 reviews of lawyers from 2007 to 2017, trying to figure out what do clients want. And the report came out in 2019, it's called Think Like a Client. And after they whittled things down to getting the criteria that they're looking for their sample, they ended up looking at a little over 2,200 client reviews for this specific answer. And the first thing is that clients want you to be a communicator. That seems kind of obvious, but blending this with the Clio Legal Trends report that came out in 2019, in terms of like a prompt response, 10% of clients expect to get an answer to either an email or a phone call within an hour. 24% within a few hours, and 45% expect to get some type of response within 24 hours. Not what the lawyer is thinking.
They sound like millennials.
Yeah. But remember, this has gone on from 2007 to 2017. So it's been around for a while that this is what clients value. And also a proactive status update, just really quick, hey, this is what's going on with your case. Especially if it kind of lies dormant sometimes for a while, waiting for things to happen. They expect you to check in with them, but not extensively, but just really quick status updates. The next thing, so it's they look at you, the ability to communicate, and they also look at the ability to lawyer. And for them, what that means is having knowledge of the law, not just being the super advocate, and providing a quality legal advice. Again, it's not just about advocacy, what people are looking for when they say that, they want their lawyer to be lawyerly. The next one, the characteristic that clients are valuing is tenacity. Just seeing the case through, being detail oriented and going the distance. It doesn't mean you have to have the right outcome. It means that you stick with the case, you stick with the client, and they put a lot of value on that. in terms of the business aspect.
Can I ask you a question about the tenacity?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, especially in litigation, we have kind of the prototype image of the bulldog litigator, kind of that very strong, you know, forceful, powerful presence. When you talk about tenacity, is it that image, or is it just kind of a grit that can, you know, transcend from all the way from the bulldog spectrum to the very empathetic, let's all get along type litigator as well?
Well, I mean, for sure, there are some clients out there that value you being a pit bull. I mean, that's what they are looking for in an attorney. But actually, what you have kind of touched on is the another characteristic of the six that I'm listing, which is demeanor. And what clients are looking for is behaving with integrity, honesty, and ethics, being kind and empathetic. So that's kind of the anti-pit bull, when what clients are valuing in the demeanor of their lawyers. So so that, you know, ties into the tenacity and just sticking with your clients, and your clients feeling like you are just going to stick with them, that you're not, you know, there to come to a quick settlement or anything like that.
Gotcha.
And then the last characteristic that clients are valuing is, it comes down to the business. And this is providing value, and honest and flexible billing is what we're, the clients are defining as being important when it comes to business. And I mean, also outcomes, but the other ones just as much.
I think that's a really interesting roadmap. And it dovetails with something that you and I have discussed, which is, you know, what is professionalism in the 21st century? And we actually, you know, had, you know, with the Denver Bar and Colorado Bar Professionalism Coordinating Councils have, you know, talked about, you know, what is the evolving definition of professionalism? Modern professionalism. And in a lot of ways, this, you know, these bullet points from, you know, that massive study of what clients want, I think dovetails nicely with, you know, how can we be professionals and, you know, what, how do we want to treat our clients? How do we want to treat each other? I think a lot of that translates.
And that the clients truly are valuing professionalism, that they put that, they put a value on that, and it's value in terms of picking who they want as lawyers, but it also, you know, who they're going to pay as lawyers too. So there is a monetary benefit to being professional.
Of course. So stepping back from the big picture, kind of looking narrowly now at what clients want, what clients need during this pandemic, what is your focus in the short term for helping your clients who are, you know, all of a sudden their lives are turned upside down from what they were just a month ago?
Well, and again, this goes back to, this is a time of opportunity, a time to start playing around with creative solutions, because what clients are wanting is in the now, and you know, trying to predict for the future is very different than what it has been. So playing around with your practice, I mean, it can be tiny little things in regard to, so when I am initially meeting a client, it tends to be at Starbucks, but right now that's not really an option. So instead of meeting them at Starbucks, I send them a little, you know, $5 gift card, you know, email, so that they can run out for 20 minutes, go get a Starbucks, and come back, and, you know, we can do our virtual meeting. And the clients are in love with that because it gets them out of the house for like 20 minutes, and they also, you know, get a little Starbucks. So, you know, it's changing around just tiny things like that, to meet the needs of your clients and what's going on right now. Also, a big piece of that when I talk about the communicator is just, you know, sending out, even if it's a bulk email or mass email that just says, hey, you know, these times are tough, and we're still here for you. But it also is a time in terms of looking forward of what are your clients, what problems are they going to come up against that they haven't come up before? And how can you start providing creative solutions either now or in the future when things start playing out a little bit with the pandemic and figuring out what the new norm, but in the future, not now, because nothing's normal right now, could be. And so, like, for examples, like with small businesses, really knowing like what their options are for the money that the government is handing out, how are they actually going to get their loans so that they don't, you know, have to end up paying them back. Just having the information of, you know, different options that they have for if their business is struggling. Maybe having ready fill out forms for them that you can, you know, do that they can do electronically online, but being on top of everything that's going on so that you know, when they need advice, boom, you're there and you're available to help now. And you know, bankruptcy, I don't know a ton about that area of the law, but you know, I'm assuming that this is going to become a pretty big area of the law. And so, you know, starting off with having a, you know, do-it-yourself packet so people can, you know, look at the information and even determine if they need to go through bankruptcy or not, or if there's other options that are out there for them. But if they do need to go to bankruptcy and you've helped them through this, you know, piece at the beginning, then guess who they're probably going to turn to actually do the bankruptcy. And so it, again, it's trying to predict what your clients' needs are going to be, and then coming up with creative solutions for your
clients. I think you had a lot of clients at the Starbucks gift certificates segment.
I'm sorry?
I think you caught a lot of clients with the Starbucks gift certificates.
Yes, I don't
have the hook,
but that is definitely a benefit. But yeah, it's just a time to be creative and play. And it's an opportunity for the vision for your clients. So as I've gone on and on about talking about vision for the clients, what do you, JP, see as the vision for the legal community?
My vision for the legal community, and this pandemic may accelerate some of these trends, is really looking at the law firm of the future, the law practice of the future, is a workplace and a social center. I think right now, you know, all of us, as we've retreated into our own little, you know, worlds right now, are really, you know, wanting, desiring of that sense of community, that sense of connection with our fellow lawyers, with our friends, with our family. And so, you know, really thinking about investing in our communities, and putting ourselves
in. What do you mean by investing?
I think it's a mixture of, you know, part of it may be dollar wise. So, you know, support the Colorado Bar Association, join the CBA. We have a lot of great sections, a lot of great initiatives like the Modern Law Practice Initiative. But part of it is, you know, investing your time in making those connections and finding your community. And I, you know, as our profession has progressed, we started with this promise of partnership and all of the support and the camaraderie that entails. But ironically, you know, as of, you know, a 2018 study from UCLA, lawyers are the loneliest professionals in the US, that we feel isolated and disconnected. And, you know, so many of us are stressed, we're anxious.
And this was before the pandemic.
Exactly. This was, you know, kind of the bubbling up and coming to a head before the pandemic. And with, you know, this heightened isolation that we're going through right now, I think we feel it more and more acutely. And so I think all of us right now are remembering, you know, first how important community is when you have something that you take for granted that all of a sudden is inaccessible. You really start to, you know, want it more and more. But also thinking, you know, when we're able to come back together, what groups do we want to really gain support from and gain guidance from and make friendships?
So JP, with the legal community, what do we have right now in terms of resources for the people that are listening?
Yes, there are resources right now that folks can tap into, get involved with. First and foremost on our minds is the Modern Law Practice Initiative. we have a number of ongoing digital gatherings during this time period. The quickest and easiest way to get a hold of us to become part of this MLPI community is emailing mlpi@cobar.org. But we have our monthly strategy meetings. We have our MLPI community page, which is essentially the Facebook of modern lawyers, supporting each other, lots of resources out there as well. And we also have our monthly modern lawyer lunch. So those are the three big areas on the modern lawyer spectrum. And I also want to highlight two additional ones. You have started the Happy Lawyer Book Club, which is not an oxymoron. There actually are happy lawyers, and we read books beyond just legal briefs. What is the book this month, Erica? Just to give folks a sampling of the types of things that you're discussing and reading.
Sure. So our first book is called Atomic Habits by James Clear. And we are doing one book a month, but we are doing two sessions on it because we meet every other Thursday at 10 o'clock through Zoom. So we just started that. So anybody that wants to jump in and continue on with Atomic Habits, feel free to join us at our next session.
And last but not least, I also want to highlight On Purpose Legal Community, which is co-founded by Lauren Lester, one of the past chairs of MLPI. And it spans Colorado, really spans the nation of legal professionals committed to creating a vibrant online community and also supporting each other as we work towards a thriving, healthier style of practicing law. So those are all areas right now that if you want to get involved, we welcome your involvement. We're looking for more folks to broaden our community, strengthen our community, and really create that sense of connection that a lot of us are longing for right now.
And the Modern Law Practice Initiative monthly meeting is the second Tuesday of every month, starting at 11:30. And then the Modern Lawyer Lunch is the last Thursday of every month at noon.
So, you know, there are digital communities that are out there that we should start investing in, both with, you know, our time, but also really thinking, you know, who do I want my tribe to be once I'm able to break free from being at home? Who can I gain support from, gain friendships, and really make the profession much more vibrant than it may have been for someone pre-pandemic.
So how do you think we get there?
That is a great question. I think it starts with actually asking questions of ourselves. You know, there is no one right answer, just as, you know, we went through the visions for ourselves, what kind of careers we wanted. We came to two very different conclusions, but we're both happy and fulfilled and have built, you know, have built a law practice. I've built, you know, a small little company. But there's different ways to get to the point where you're happy and fulfilled and part of communities that support you and lift you up. And so I think actually the best answer is leaving our listeners with some questions for them to ponder in terms of how we get from point A to point B, where point B is the happy, fulfilled practice, whatever it looks like.
Well, and so starting with some questions to throw out about figuring out what vision you have for yourself, I would say, you know, as simple as, what are you liking best about your remote practice in all the different aspects, from what you wear to how you're interacting with your clients? What do you like least about the remote practice? And can I try doing something in a different way?
Yeah.
Any suggestions that you have for questions for self?
Yeah, I like those as well. And, you know, going back to the notion of work-life blend with those five freedoms, which of those freedoms can you continue to incorporate in your practice? Which ones work for you? Which ones haven't worked for you? And one way to help kind of think through that process is, you know, what is my ideal week? What am I doing? Who am I speaking with? What kind of clients am I serving? And if you can have that forward-looking vision and then work back to the present, sometimes you do have the ability to kind of unlock, okay, this is how I'm going to get to the ideal place I want to be. Moving on to the vision for clients, what are helpful questions to get that process started in terms of, you know, the vision for the folks that you represent?
Well, I think that it, again, it kind of goes to some of the simple questions, which is, what are my clients asking for right now? What's different? What's the same? What new information is out there that I need to know, that my clients need to know? And for me, I actually get to this is, what am I afraid that my clients are going to ask me right now that I don't know the answer to? So I want to figure out that answer before they start asking those questions. What problems are my clients going to face? What's the easiest solutions for those? How can I make the pandemic right now better for my clients? What comforts can I offer them in terms of, you know, like I said, like a simple email saying, hey, we're here, you know, doing the Zoom conferences versus doing the phone calls, just because they are a little bit more interactive and feeling that more connection with your clients. So what little things can you do, or big things can you do for your clients right now? So what about vision for community, Mr. JP?
Vision for community, last but not least, really comes down to, what do you want our legal community to look like once we all come back together? And something, you know, a rut that I was stuck in for a while was, I was always waiting for the right job or the right community to find me. But I think this has to be, you know, a proactive question that you ask yourself. We have such huge diversity within the Colorado Bar, within the Denver Bar, within city bars across our state, from the Eastern Plains to the Western Slope, that there are so many opportunities to meet people, to get out there, and that it's really a matter of, you know, proactively seeking out those groups. And if it doesn't exist, build it yourself. You know, this is really our chance to build the community that we want to live in. And so just thinking proactively, you know, how do I create that community for myself, I think is critical right now, especially as we're, you know, longing for that sense of connection while we are, you know, physically disconnected from each other.
Well, and just as a bit of a teaser, these questions are not just being thrown out there with no place to go. So this is actually setting up for the podcast that we have coming up, the next one being on Vision for Self exclusively, and then the next one being on Vision for Clients, and then the final one being on, well, not the final podcast ever, but what was your vision for the community? So this is almost a homework assignment for what's coming up next.
Yeah, and we want to help, you know, I certainly struggled with these questions, and oftentimes I didn't seek out as much support and help as I probably should have as I was going through what I call my early midlife crisis. And so I think, you know, the more structure and support that we can give to our fellow lawyers who are asking these types of questions, that's really what we want to do over the next three episodes, and, you know, collectively work at, you know, really changing our professional lives, changing our profession, so that, you know, we have that thriving practice that really fulfills each and every one of us.
And if you can't wait for the next podcast to start discussing this or sharing or getting support, another resource that we have is the online community for the Modern Law Practice Initiative at the CBA, which, you know, has a discussion line or list, just like, you know, all the other communities out there. So if you want to start sharing early, feel free.
We welcome it. Well, I think that's it for this week. I just want to thank you all for joining us on the Revolution. And we look forward to continuing this discussion.
Thanks, everyone.